Good evening, everybody. It's May 1st, 2023. This is the Fakeologist Show. We do this show Sunday through Thursdays, usually around 8 p.m. Toronto time. And I have been off for about a week, on and off. I was supposed to be in Tennessee, but border security wouldn't let me cross. So I'm back here in the air chair here in Toronto. And tonight, I don't know this week if we're going to be doing a show every night, but we'll see. We'll see what happens as we rev back up. Tonight we have a special guest, one of my daily listens, and somebody who's been on the show many times in the past and who has a large audience and talks about just about everything I like to hear about. There's almost nobody out there that has his breadth and knowledge and ability to talk for 90 minutes without a guest continuously. I don't know how he does it, but you all know him. He is Tim Osman from Infinite Plane Radio. Infinite Plane Radio, or IPS.monster, I believe. Hey, Tim.
Hey, thanks for having me, and I'm glad you're feeling better. A lot of people are looking forward to last week, but yeah, you got to make sure you heat the bat up all the way.
Oh my! I crashed that night. I wasn't sure if I could even or wanted had enough energy to type a message to you, and I didn't want to stand you up. So I'm glad I was able to at least send you a quick email saying I cannot make it. I was that bad, and I went to sleep for about 14 hours, mostly straight, but it was a rough night. But yeah, thanks for rejoining.
Yeah, I'm definitely happy that we're able to do it this way as well, merging our audiences, because now we have a vibrant chat. And I was just live a little while ago.
Oh, okay.
Many of them are here as well.
Oh, that's great. Wow, yeah, you have a big audience. I don't have a YouTube channel live right now because I got struck, even though what I do is I go live and then I delete the video. But even if you delete the video, they still can strike it. So I guess you know all about that.
Oh, and you're probably just as targeted as I am. My YouTube channel has two strikes and I just deleted all the content. They don't want me to build an archive. Like, it's pretty clear that what we're doing is very upsetting to their status quo, and we're just not welcome at their club. And I understand it, but I have an endless supply of socks. Our channel's like a hydra. They chop off one head, two more pop out. And I just go to my sock drawer, and now we have, I think, two channels on YouTube. So we do have a YouTube presence tonight.
Well, nobody can get back on YouTube faster than you can. I just don't even like going through the effort because it is such a nuisance. But that's why I created my own video platform called Fakeotube, fakeotube.com. All my archives are there. It never goes down. The archives are always there. I get pretty good action. It's user supported. I couldn't do it without donations because it costs a couple hundred a month to maintain and to replicate. So I don't really care about YouTube. I kind of use YouTube for the notifications. Plus, there's quite a few YouTube addicts. They can't get off the platform, it seems.
Yeah, I think that's Stockholm syndrome, and I certainly don't have it. For me, it's more or less just, it's almost like maintaining a position just on principle, but I have no vested interest in that company whatsoever. And for the most part, I think you're doing what the future, and you've been ahead of the curve on this. We have to do our own platform. We are building essentially what I consider to be a parallel media, because what we're doing isn't what they do. And what you've done is great. I'm really enjoying your forums, by the way.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you came on because you have a lot of content. And my frustration with your content is it's hard to find. And you do spread it really thin. So I'm glad if you want to put some of your stuff on my forums. That way it'll be easier for me to find. That's my selfish wish. So yeah, I'm great. I'm glad that you do that.
I had someone on there asking, you know, why are you looking into these codes? Why does it matter?
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, this, the answer, the more I thought about it, I'm like, this is going to take several live streams to go through. So I like the interaction there. I'm going to send people to your forums because
good.
We can centralize a lot of our research. And that needs to be done in the written format as well as, you know, video cataloging. But we need to put this content out there. And having blogs scattered around is fine, but I'll take all my content and centralize it on your forum there as well, just because it does create a lot of conversation.
Well, yeah, even if you just cross-post it, put it on your site, put it on my site, cross-posting is fine to me as well. You can put links to your site if you put more information on your site than my site. Doesn't matter, as long as people can click on it and find it. And that's the whole point of the internet, that you don't give your, put every egg in one basket. The whole great part about the internet is this link here. It's called hyperlinking. You know, you click on it, it goes to the information somewhere else. You don't have to have it on your site. As long as there's a way to get to it, it that is the power. And yeah, Al, who is a bit of a, he's a bit of an agitator. He's always asking why, which is fine. But he asks, why should anyone care? Well, why does anyone care about any of this research that you could go to that extent? So you drill down on it because you find patterns. You say we are in pattern recognition mode and that's what makes us advanced. And yeah, I think it's really important because even though some of the links could be considered pretty spurious, kind of a reach, you know, how gematria, they reach by using a different gematria method to make patterns. I think that just the recent research about what you were talking about, with these random shootings and the random danger code, I think it's important. And the script writers use it all the time to reinforce just another narrative, which is what you break down all the time.
Exactly. It's about situational awareness,
yeah,
and knowing what the masses are prepared to react to. And I think if you don't have that, then you're at the mercy of the mob mentality, which is never a great thing. I mean, we saw how the ignorant, terrified mob ran roughshod over human liberties all in 2020, and it's going to continue forever. You know, I still see casualties of the mind war all the time. People fully masked and protected driving around in their cars. Well, that's very incongruent. If you think things are that unsafe that you got to wear a body condom, you shouldn't be in public. And that shows you the nature of the mind control, where, you know, it's really not rational. It's just about conformity and fear.
Yeah. And I'm putting a link to the show. I'm putting a link rather to the forum that Tim commented on and on my blog post. This is FAK 712, Tim Osman. That's the title. So you'll be able to find the show notes to what we're talking about tonight quite easily by just clicking on the link. So that's link number one to this forum here. And yeah, I get most of my U.S. news through either your talks or the No Agenda show. So I don't really follow all these sort of minor shootings because they do get tedious, but I'm glad that you go through them. That way it saves me the trouble of really going through them. And you seem to find the patterns right away, which is good. And
that's another answer to his question. You know, yeah, why do we do this? Well, because we've created a methodology, like fakeology. And you know what? I asked the chat GPT, I said, what is fakeology? And it actually gave me a really good multi-paragraph answer.
Oh, good. Did you post it anywhere? Or?
I did post it on one of my blogs because the reason I did this is I accidentally typed Infinite Plane Society. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to. And it went into a tangent about how that's a dangerous movement that spreads misinformation.
Wow.
And I was like, wait, the chat GPT calls the IPS a dangerous movement. What do they say about fakeologists? And I checked,
right,
and it was there. Anyway, my point is fakeology saves you time, saves louche.
Mm-hmm.
It saves you a lot of heartache if you're like crying for crisis actors. Like, why wouldn't you want to be, I would say, unmanipulatable? And that's what we're doing here. You know, we're rising above the propaganda floods and being really objective and critical.
They're really showing them for what they are. They're just mind control devices, narratives. They fit patterns because I think they repeat these things in sort of themes over time, like just so to reinforce this idea, whatever the idea of the month is, basically. Because I think if they did one of these things alone, it might not sink in that, oh, your neighbor's a problem. Oh, random shooters are a problem. this sort of randomness or the neighbor thing. These themes need to be repeated to be reinforced. Otherwise, they may not have their desired effect.
You know, coincidentally, as you say this, CNN is on here, mm-hmm. and Eric Holder's face was on the screen. Right. Eric Holder's a guy who says that they have to, this was 20 plus years ago.
Oh, yes.
That they would have to catapult the propaganda by repeating it and brainwashing people to think about guns in a new way. He was literally just on my screen here.
Yeah, and I put that video up. I've got, I put that on Faco too. It hasn't been taken down everywhere else, but I put it on my own site just to make a point of it. I'll just play a clip here if you can hear it. And this is Eric Holder about you need to brainwash, and my site is a little slow tonight, or the FacoTube site is a little slow right now. So when he starts talking, let me refresh it here. And I actually have to refresh. Looks like I have to refresh my FacoTube set of sockets here and see if I can bring it up.
And yeah, to your point though, mm-hmm. it's been 6+ months and all the shooters are suddenly left wing. Mm. And now the right wing is no longer ignoring them. To me, that's masterful manipulation.
As part of the initiative, though, an informational campaign to really change the hearts and minds of people in Washington, D.C., and in particular, our young people. They are saturated in the media and in entertainment or by the entertainment industry with violence. And I think too many of our young people, in particular our young men, are fascinated with violence and in particular fascinated with guns. And what we need to do is change the way in which people think about guns, especially young people.
It said here, this is from January 30th, 1995. So this goes back 28 years. Long time.
Wow. Okay, this is before they kicked off the fake school shooter agenda. And this, to me, this is when he was basically saying to the people in the know, we're going to find a way to radically change how they view guns. And when he talked about the entertainment, that's part of it. The entertainment that hyper-focuses on the guns is so they can scapegoat free speech. Oh, look what your gun culture did. I mean, this is, again, masterful manipulation because they're able to direct opinions over the millions of people over several what Edward Bernays would call perception management operations.
Well, I just drove home tonight in one of those super large LED billboards that's facing the freeway. There's some TV show, I can't remember the name of it is, whatever's current right now, and there's two people holding large weapons in their hands. So what is the message? Are you for guns, or are you trying to glorify guns? Because here you have two Hollywood-like people holding guns. One woman, one would look like a man. What message are they sending?
Yeah, and then so often, these Hollywood types in the movies with the guns are against guns in real life.
Yeah.
And so what I see them as, they are free speech saboteurs.
Yes.
And they're setting us up to make the argument that we need to be censored. And this, again, is just a perception management over a long period of time. And the PSYOP plot twist, where now every neighbor is a threat to your life, if that was true, it would have been true a year ago. It would have been true 6 months ago, but no, it's just true as of this last month. It's just a new twist.
Well, I've left my phone line open. If anyone wants to call in and talk to Tim, because I know your phone lines have been down for a couple weeks, I'd be happy to host it. So if you have a question of Tim or want to say something to Tim and you haven't been able to get through for a couple weeks, because I listen to your show every day, so I know you haven't taken calls. So if you want to take a call about anything you've talked about in the last few weeks, because you do a lot of overlap between shows, which is good. So we get the message. So if they want to call in, I got the phone numbers on the bottom. If someone wants to call in on Skype, I can turn the Skype on as well. I'm Fakeologist on Skype.
Go ahead and read the number out. And if somebody wants to call in, and you know what I'll do, mm-hmm. is I'm going to send out a text blast right now.
All right.
And yeah, I know. We'll get a large group of people in here right now.
Why not? Yeah, and if you want to just have any questions for Tim, if my audience wants to talk to Tim, that now's your chance. 810-666-1984, 902-400-1984. I still have the custom numbers with the 1984 at the bottom. There are the last four numbers. So yeah, for sure. I see we have a large You have a large following wherever you go. You've got two YouTube channels, one with 15, one with 14, 29 people. And you've got two D-Lives with five each. So we've got about 40 people watching, all thanks to Tim Osman. And I have FakoTube going on, and that has maybe 20 people. We have a smaller audience, a very loyal audience, by the way. And thanks a lot to the audience that supports FakoTube, especially the monthly donors, people that set it and forget it. I really appreciate you guys. I don't call you guys out enough. You know, the people that donate even as little as a dollar a month, all the way up to, I think I have 33 a month. I'm not sure if that's still active, but it doesn't matter. It's the thought that counts. So thanks all you guys. I personally am a donor of Tim Osman. It's a small amount, I know, but it's a monthly amount that I just set it and forget it. And everyone needs to support independent media. I know Tim doesn't ask for money very often on his podcast, but I think you can just tell from his situation he's not exactly rolling in dough. So make sure.
It's interesting to think about what your audience size and scope would be if you weren't censored, because whether or not people agree with your general premise, these conversations are worth having and they're interesting anyway. And we go into so many different areas that I just think that the audiences organically would be huge. In 2019, I was just talking about that, during the Holy Week of 2019 when Notre Dame burned, we would consistently have 500 to 1,000 live listeners. And I think that that's one of the reasons why we're more or less shadow banned, is that our channels, this content has the potential to blow up exponentially, but you know, it's not going to happen anymore on their platforms. But you know, my point is that the reason why our numbers are small and the reason why we are listener supported and we need to be is just simply that, you know, we're up against juggernauts. In fact, tomorrow morning I have a hearing with YouTube as I'm, you know, suing them.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing you're going after them. It is amazing. Yeah, I agree. And you know, the YouTube audience is scattered as well towards Rumble and Odyssey. YouTube hasn't just targeted you. It's obviously with this whole health operation, it's scattered people all over the place. They're banning all over the place. So they really thinned out and scattered the audience. YouTube isn't what it was before as this huge juggernaut where you could actually make money. And I hate I hate centralized platforms. I am for decentralization in everything and anything, currency, as much as possible. So hopefully people.
Well, that's what our think tanking here is about. It's about you know, getting in more points of view. It's about bringing in a lot more information, more pieces of this big puzzle. And you can't get that if you're completely centralized and it's only through one person. All right, the text alerts just went out. We should have about 150 plus people on the notification. So the number's there if anyone wants to call in.
And text alerts cost a lot of money. I did try that service that you are using right now, and it's pretty expensive. So, yeah, people have to help support that kind of service. It's not cheap. I don't know if there are any cheap text alert services out there. It's hard to find. The phone.
Yeah, I wonder, like the pillow guy, you know, the pillow man, Mike Lindell. I get advertisements from him on my text alerts every night at like 3 a.m. Like, wow. Buy my pillow. Can't sleep. Buy my pillow. And I'm like, this guy's got to be spending millions of dollars just on text alerts and text messaging. It is expensive, but it pays for itself. If you blast out and you bring in 150 people, you know, chances are, you know, a couple of people will throw a $5 super chat or something.
Well, that's
good.
And
it makes it, I see it as an advertising expense.
Yeah, well, for sure. If you think it pays, but I don't really use it. I think there's enough notifications. I send out email, and hopefully people still check their email once in a while. FakoTube sends out its own email when I go live. Restream will send a message to Twitter automatically. When I'm on YouTube, if people have notifications on there, sometimes I guess they can get it through that. Odyssey sends out notifications when you go live, as far as I know.
Right. It's almost redundant, but we got to make a lot of noise. And the power of the text alert, though, specifically the reason why I employ it, is that they're constantly burning down my channels and there's no rallying point. And if I use that, I can bring people who went to all these different places and get them into one place. But this has been a, you know, it's been an ongoing back and forth for a couple of years, but I think we've adapted pretty well despite that. And, you know, just the fact that we have these regular conversations and we're still on the cutting edge and we're still refining our approaches and methodologies just shows that all this censorship is really just, if anything, it's made our organizations anti-fragile. I mean, Fakeologist is completely independent. And, you know, soon I want to do something similar
when
it comes to video archiving, because you cannot rely. And I mean, we talk about this all the time, but it's just, we know the future. You know, they tested it. They're like, oh, the canary in the coal mine was the flat earthers, mm-hmm. 2018. And we saw what they did there.
For sure. I post a lot of clips on FakeoTube as well. I was listening to a little bit of Alex Jones. I'm sure maybe you do as well here and there. And he had Dr. Rima on, who I actually really like. And I know I spend a little more time than Tim talking about vaccines and viruses and whatnot. But I thought this was a pretty good clip. I'll just play it real quick while I have you here.
I mean, do you think he's in on it, though?
He's the most pro-vaccine president we've ever had, allegedly with a vaccine-injured child. What does that tell you?
Tells us a lot.
Tells you everything you need to know.
There, that's for all you Trump supporters that think he's going to save you. It's not going to happen. Trump is...
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. You know, the hopium and the nothing burger industry is booming. And I'm just blown away by how people are going to follow Trump. And now they're bringing back all of the old QAnon stuff, all the old Pizzagate stuff. It's all being recycled. I'm like, wow, it's 2016 all over again. It's been nearly 8 years and they're going to just reboot all of this stuff. And they're just going to march behind Trump. And he's like, I'm going to save you from the deep state. I'm like, don't they realize that this is just a repeat? And I guess not. And the reason why I think, though, is that unless you're doing what we're doing, and maintaining a continuity of reality, I think you might get lost in the sea of just the constant refreshing and recycling of stories to where it's the brave new world. And people don't have like an objective stance. Everything's just so subjective these days. So now following Trump to the edge of the world, following Trump to go beat the deep state, to fight the black hats and rescue the children from the tunnels, yeah, that's all a sellable story again somehow.
Yeah, I don't see how. I'm burned out on Trump. I think his brand is definitely waning. It's definitely not so much tarnished for the big supporters, but I think it's just fading. I just don't think he's like a horse that's been whipped too many times. There's not a lot of appeal left in him, and a lot of people have left his camp, I would say. There's nobody else to go to right now, so I guess he gets a lot of that by default, but I'm burned out by Trump talk, just as much as I'm tired about hearing about Biden.
Well, Trump has got to be the least Christ-like person to have ever been compared to Christ. And that's how far they go, where I think what Trump has done, and this is, well, not him, but his entire apparatus that he's the face of, is they've taken evangelicalism, new ageism, and they've taken Christianity, specifically eschatology, and they've repackaged it into their political party. Like, this is a politicized version of Christianity with Trump at the helm. Yeah. And this is all by design. And the whole Q movement ties into it, because the Q movement is where they bring in the secret war that's going on behind the scenes, the white hats and black hats, the deep state. Yeah, this stuff here, this is a religion. And for a lot of these QAnoners, they're not going to change because this is their faith. And with evangelicalism, one of the strategies they employ is when their believers go out and they meet resistance, they see that as a sign that they're doing the right thing. If you get rejected, if people don't believe you, if they persecute you, you must be doing something right.
Yeah, for sure. I almost had a caller in her, but I think she gave up. Jenna from Olympia. When you call in, it looks like here she is now. Hold on.
Hold time. 1 minute, 16 seconds.
Hi, Brian or Jenna. You calling in and talk to Tim?
correct. This, unfortunately, is Brian Jenna's in the background.
All right. Say hi to Tim Osman from IPS. Dot Monster.
Hi, Tim. I'm not familiar with your putting information out there, but I called in because earlier in the conversation there was some discussion of guns and shooting and this PSYOP involving firearms. And it is, I agree, confusing. And I guess confusing by design is a term that I like to use. And it involves a word, communitarianism. And I don't know if you've or your listeners have ever heard of this word. Maybe you could tell me your understanding of that word. Have you ever heard of it, Tim?
Tim Osman. One thing for sure, Brian, you know how to crowbar in communitarianism no matter what we're talking about. I'll give you credit.
We'll go to biochar soon, but
I don't think so.
take on this one first. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You know, this communitarianism, I have, and I've listened to a few discussions about this, but why don't you explain it as you understand it for the listeners, because I think this is a key point to understanding the big picture and where things are going, what the guiding ethos is.
Okay, let's just say that it's a dictatorship of the community. Your individual rights are superseded by those of the community. And if you don't have any commie red flags waving, at this point, your history has to be lacking. This has a huge amount of communistic ideologies associated with it. But, you know, the communists, they outlawed religion. And so this new form of world governance that will replace both capitalism and communism, they do worship Gaia. So all of the environmental concerns are completely focused on not just you're going to kill grandma because you didn't get the injection, but realistically, you can't do anything because you're pushing, you know, this climate hoax. I'm not really stating that very well.
Well, you'll like Tim Osman. You're going to have to start listening to Tim Osman as much as he has to maybe familiarize himself with your communitarianism, because Tim definitely is one of the best when it comes to talking about Gaia worship. Tim has that down pat. Absolutely.
You're 100% right. What they've done, and this is clever, because the World Economic Forum, communitarianism, the ethos here, I think I say communism. I don't mean Marxism specifically. I'm more talking about the collectivist ethos where the unit of value is no longer the individual. We're not protecting individual rights. It's collective rights. Now the individual is an affront to the collective. And that's the only reason why we see this push for minority rights like trans rights and these others. It's because it's an affront, it's an attack on individual rights. It's just another way of saying individuals are a threat to community harmony. And this is like their guiding ethos here, but this is where environmentalism ties into it, because they use the excuse of saving the planet to shut down all of our freedoms. And this is part of the strategy, and it was pretty clear in 2020 when you had George Floyd chanting, "I can't breathe." And that's the slogan of the street communist BLM. And he can't breathe because police oppression. But then they extended that to this capitalistic system is not only oppressing the poor with the police, but it's destroying the environment and it disproportionately affects the poor. So Gaia can't breathe. Now this Gaia is the ultimate victim that's replaced the poor in this traditional Marxist structure where class warfare, rich versus poor, Well, now it's rich versus the environment. And the environment now includes the poor as its advocates. So this has been a strategy that's successfully set up, I think, a philosophy for destroying the pretext for freedom on the basis that Earth can't take it. And of course, World Economic Forum has introduced the Global AI Action Alliance, or Gaia. So you can see, even at that level, they're bringing about a global consciousness and associating it with what? The God of the globe, the God of the Earth. And they're putting this out there as part of their overall unification replacement religion. And that's what they've offered us. With the communitarian ethos combined with scientism gives you our new religion. If you look at how they've just kind of replaced everything, or they're trying to anyway, with this new updated religion. And Gaia worship is definitely a religion. It's not about science, but yeah, I think you're right about this.
I work alongside the amazing mechanic Jenna quite a bit. And when she says, well, shouldn't we put some sealant on this gasket before we, I say ding, ding, ding instead of dong. And that indicates that, boy, that's some smart thinking. And I'll say the same thing to you, Tim. And you have more listeners than Tim, but whoever is listening, I'm going to say ding, ding, ding on what you just said. But I will move on to there is this 1963 book from Western Oregon by Ken Kesey. And Ken apparently was a CIA operative and MKUltra victim. And in this supposed fictional novel, he presented a story, and there is a internet forum called Goodreads, and I was looking recently, and these people are discussing this 1963 book currently. But the big question is, you know, you would think Ken Kesey would be pro-union and pro-environment, but it's apparent that he is actually rah-rah the last independent logging family known as a JIPO. That's a small little logging outfit term. It's confusing by design. They want to present this dialectic of two sides of this, and I just wanted to squeeze that little information in because, you know, we do have a forestry bent here involving making something out of biomass, also known as wood waste and discardable brush and the like. So we make a substance that goes in the vegetable garden called biochar. So any further comments, or you may have other calls?
I might, but let Tim Osmond respond to one thing at a time. Maybe he's already heard of Ken Kesey, because I hadn't heard of him. Maybe Tim probably has. I don't know, though.
No, I don't think I have, but you know, overall, though, your comments about this communitarianism and all this stuff in Gaia, I wanted to point out really quick that I think that one of the reasons why we have been inundated with this global consciousness thing is because what they're doing is they want to synchronize all of our media, because it's going to replace religion itself. It already has, in my view. But I think we're in a process of they're synchronizing everybody along the same ideology. And that's why they're outgrouping individuals. And in 2020, if you remember, the pressure there was you have to make a sacrifice for the collective. You have to cover your face. And that if you didn't, you were being selfish. So you'll notice that the war is on the selfish individual. And that's ultimately, I think, what this communitarian thing is about. It's about the mob taking over. And I think that's why we see in the news and a lot of the gestalt story here is about the Kraken awakening that's going to tear down Babylon. And I think that's what we're seeing. The Kraken to me, represents the mob mind that will overthrow the individual, overthrow the West. And the concept of individualism as we have it here in the West is what is under attack. And along with that is private property, privacy itself. And look what's happening with privacy. People are taught that there's no value in it. You've got to put your private life out there and commodify it in order for it to be worth anything at all. So I think the very concept of individualism is being destroyed. And we see it in the language, but it's in the culture. And it's definitely in the attitudes that are being shaped, where now it's the individual that's a threat to everybody. The mind virus super spreader, the virus super spreader, the carbon super spreader. I mean, you're probably all of the above. But ultimately, I think they're leading us into, we lock down so we don't spread carbon and mind viruses, and that all of our thoughts are then filtered through the internet. And we lock down to save Gaia, which is, again, part of the longer term thing here.
Yeah, I think you got, I think you have, you got the concept. And I think Brian probably agrees with you. The only word that I think that maybe you could use, because you, I think you, Tim, use Marxism a lot. Maybe communitarianism is a more accurate word. And I think that's always the purpose of Brian's calls, is just to get the proper terminology into people's minds, because once people start looking into communitarianism, it really describes what you talk about on your show all the time, because you've defined it without using the word, I find. So it is actually good that Brian and Jenna called in, because there is definitely there's definitely an overlap. You do describe it quite well, unlike most people. So actually is very interesting that you come to the same conclusion without even using the word. But I think it's better than Marxism.
I think you're right there too. Yeah, because you know, people use communist as more a slur, and it's kind of a caricature. It's not a real tenable philosophy. If anything, it's more or less an ideal. But the mindset that the individual is not only a threat to the group, the individual shouldn't be an individual, that we got to move into the hive mind. That is definitely the agenda moving forward. And I think it's epitomized by the space program and the Mars base. And I used to call these space gulags or Mars communes, because when you're up there, you all have the same uniform, the spacesuit, no face, just the visor. And everybody has everything pretty much equal. You're not bringing your cars, you're not bringing your wealth from the Earth to Mars, but you're living in a commune, and it's sustainable. And you're not going to bring anything to Mars that destroyed the Earth, including capitalism and freedom. So in other words, they're using the cult of scientism to brainwash people. And the guiding ethos or philosophy is simply that we have to be a herd, a hive, a collective, because individuals are the threat. And this is typified by the individual shooter, you know, the lone gunman, the radical that goes online and like the Riddler in the Batman movie, the question marks. That's what they've been creating. They've been creating the new devil for the public is actually the uncensored, unmasked individual, and unmasked mentally as well.
Brian, what do you think of all that? Yeah.
Well, I would just say that we need to keep in mind, in honor of May 1st, May Day, that Karl Marx said communism will take down capitalism, but he said that communism will not be the end result. I think what we need to look into is what is the end result, and I'm insisting it's called communitarianism. It's not technocracy. Patrick Wood would be a controlled opposition that would be presented to fill that void. It's really simple. Amitai Etzioni is 90 some years old and advisor to every president in the United States since Jimmy Carter. This is the end result, and we need to be on high alert in every endeavor we pursue. What are the communitarian tentacles involved in this? So,
all right. Well, good.
I'm gonna sign off.
Thank you, Brian. Make sure you tune into Tim Osmond IPS. You'll enjoy his show, and that's one of the reasons why we do a show together, so I can expose my audience to him and vice versa. But he has a much larger audience, so you should join it. He has a huge think tank on Discord as well, and maybe you can put your ideas over there as well.
But yep, Jenna is typing it in as we speak, and if you like taking in guests, I think Adam Green at No More News would love to talk about the Christian Zionists involved with this nightmare that ensues. But I'm going to sign off at this point. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jenna and Brian. Take care. Thanks for calling. All right, the phone lines are open. 810-666-1984, 902-400-1984. Looks like we got Harmon calling in now.
Harmon. Hold time, 10 minutes.
Here comes 50, Harmon.
5 seconds.
Harmon, welcome to the show. Say hi to Tim Osmond.
Hi, Tim. How you doing?
Hey, what's up? Good to hear from you.
Yeah. First of all, Ab, I want to apologize. I haven't called in for like 3 weeks because last time I called in, I wasn't ready and my links were bad and everything. Like that. I felt so embarrassed having
that's
that
all right.
show causing bad.
That's okay.
No, it isn't. I should be more prepared.
It's hard.
And
I don't even remember what happened.
Well, I just had links and you did it and it was the wrong link. Oh my gosh.
That's all right.
And it affects me more than it does you. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay. Okay.
Anyway, so also a mother trucker on from the Epic community on the main channel gave you a good shout out yesterday or the day before.
Oh, thank you, mother trucker. And by the way, Tim Osmond does have an Epic Pay wallet, by the way. Tim Osmond is set up.
That's good.
So if he...
Does he have the GUI wallet, the Byte wallet, or the mobile wallet?
I have the Byte wallet. If you go to infiniteplanetsociety.com, I have a link there. Okay. And yeah, I'm definitely open to, you know, all sorts of ways that people want to support the channel. But for the most part, I ask people to at least just get into the think tank, because the real value we get is from all of the commentary and the research. But if you want to support the channel, just go to infiniteplanetsociety.com and you can find all the links there.
I already support you. I got a monthly donation to you and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I recognize your voice, actually. You were a regular caller before I... And I'll be back. I'll have my calls up very soon, by the way. Probably another 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, what I like today, I'm going to compliment you. I wouldn't have got on today except for Ab. It's so awesome. He sends out text messages. And that, tell you what, that really helps a lot of people.
Oh, I know it does. I read my text messages too, but it costs money. And I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know.
Tim has a more scattered audience, so it's probably more useful for him than it is me. My audience is more used to an email. But, I could look into it.
And plus, you're pretty regular on your timing. You're very regular on your timing.
Yeah. But Tim, I see Tim on his website. He has his Veet wallet address. But I know Tim has an Epic Pay receive address as well. So hopefully you can post it on there, Tim, because that.
Yeah, I just have Veet. I just have Veet, so that's all that matters.
Okay,
but Tim, I'm going to go back to one of your favorite subjects that you don't like to talk about.
Go ahead.
Okay, which one? Is it
whatever they're called? Whatever, airplane trails.
Tim talks about it.
I really like to find out the answer because I know they're not spraying us. I mean, that's just the dumbest thing in the world to me. And to me, it's just dumb. But when did they start? I mean, I went back to 1959 and found an article from Palm Springs where a lady was complaining about the trails in the sky. And a general from the Air Force actually answered in the article, telling her what they were. They were just condensation back then. So I always try to watch the old movies. I do that on purpose. I watch the skies, the old Westerns, what year they were filmed and everything like that, and try to look at the sky. And the first ones I can see were like in the 90s. Have you ever done that when you're watching a movie?
Not specifically, but I have looked back and like, what is the claim that these things just started in like the late 90s or what?
Well, that's the first ones you can hear, but what you call it, like say you talked about it last time on your show, about, oh, there has to be a certain altitude. Yeah, they say, this is from the mainstream news, it has to be between 28,000 and 32,000 feet for them to be able to do the condensation trail, and it has to be at a certain temperature. That's why you only see them on certain days. And that's the place. And that was like 7 years ago that I read that and studied that. So I don't know if they've changed their story or not. So,
by the way, I like Tim Osmond's take on chemtrails because I'm pretty much aligned with it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but they are something. I don't care to say they are. They're not the same as they were when the jets first came out. They're just not. I watched the movies. I looked for them. And
the jets are different. Different engines. Different, maybe different fuel blends. Yeah. Who knows?
Now, the last time I talked with him, I said maybe it was because of the lack of more air, using more compressed air, maybe. And it was a cover story. And Tim said that's possible. Is that what you said, Tim?
Yeah. Okay. That's one thing. You know, for the most part, I thought, well, maybe the reason why people are so hung up on it is that these are very extreme condensation trails. And maybe that the regular explanation doesn't suffice. And I thought, well, possibly, maybe they're not using jet fuel, that the jet fuel's a hoax. And these are compressed air engines. And that because of the style of engine, and it's something that we're not privy to, maybe it has a more pronounced effect as it goes through the atmosphere. And maybe the condensation trails are just more intense with this type of engine. I mean, that was just a possibility. But for the most part, I think that the chemtrail theory explanation is not as good as the condensation trail theory. And people will say, well, you're a shill for the airlines. It's like, well, no. Whenever you want to debunk something, you have to go against the status quo and what they say first and possibly debunk it. You can't just ignore it and offer a counter. And I just haven't seen anything to counter condensation trails.
Me neither.
And I think they, but anyway, that's, and then and secondary.
And I've been working around an airport for 30 years and fuel stinks. There's lots of fuel. They're pouring lots of stuff in the wings. It's real. Planes burn fuel. So everyone who thinks they don't has to get over that. How much fuel? That's a little different, but there's lots of planes. And I can tell you that burning fuel stinks. It's probably toxic. I wouldn't want to work around it for too long because there's no pollution devices on planes. So everything that's burned is definitely, and it definitely precipitates. There's a lot of, if you look at the houses and the fences around the airport, there's lots of precipitate from the exhaust. That is real. Obviously, when fuel burns, there is precipitate of some sort, and it comes down, and the fences around the airport are black. They're really dirty and disgusting.
I've seen that. I was in the Air Force 9 years, spent straight on the flight line.
Well, so
I was
you agree.
For Turkey for 5 years. They in the Air Force are really strict. They take the engines off every 90 days, and they have to run the engines individually on a big block they put on in the air hangar.
Okay.
And they run the engine and test them and then put them back on. But when they take the engine off and put it there, we're sitting there. We're the guards. We have to guard it. No one's allowed to be around there. And we're watching. This is 1983. We're watching this engine, and we're both looking. They go, how is this thing running? We were just sat there. We're not thinking anything. We think that there must be a secret fuel line coming up from the underneath the cement or something, because we'd sit there and watch this engine. There was nothing there. Once the APU unit, which is auxiliary power unit, fired it up like a fire. You know what the APUs are?
Yes, for sure. They're all over the place.
And so it's like starting up the old cars with a hand crank. Well, they started it up with the air start with the APU units, and they take it away. And of course, we have to have our earplugs in. It's loud as hell.
So maybe they're not burning fuel. They're just blowing air through it to make sure it's working.
Oh, blowing air through with what?
I don't know.
We're watching it. It's just the engine sitting there running. It would do their little thing. It would start up. And I didn't think nothing of it all the way until Jonesy Jones came up with the thing back in 2017, starting about the fuel fuel hoax.
It's a good thought. It's a good thought, but...
So you really think that many pounds of fuel can fit inside of a wing of an airplane? Really?
Well, yeah. There's a few about this. I've looked into this.
Yes, I do.
They're not.
Okay, let Tim talk.
Well, they may not actually tip it off all the way, depending on the flight. And the heavier it is, obviously, the more energy intensive it's going to be. And I think a lot of these graphics that show how much fuel in there, I think these graphics are somewhat possibly misleading. But I just want to point out, you had mentioned the temperature, you know, the hot fuel. And we're talking about high altitudes where it's really cold. If you've ever taken boiling water, well, take some boiling hot water and throw it out in the air when it's freezing outside, and what happens? You know, it instantly
crystallizes.
And the only reason it doesn't linger like a contrail is it's just not high enough. But I'm just saying that I think the altitude and the temperature perfectly explains the phenomenon. I think it explains it better than introducing some secret mission to poison us all. I think the chemtrail theory is also, I think it's an operation. I think it's a psyop. And I think it's a psyop, again, to keep everybody on the same sheet. So everybody is afraid that man is going to bring the earth to destruction because of his effects on the environment.
It's something like that. And I worked in the airport security when after retired on AV, and I sat there and I'd watch, and I'd watch some fuel. I'd do all that stuff. I was just really curious after I learned that. I don't know how you can think they can put that thousands of gallons in those wings when they have all the ailerons and struts and rudders in them and stuff like that. Okay. I just don't see it. I watch them. Okay. I watched it real close. And
Why don't you go do some research and go call Pratt and Whitney and go over and check it out? I just don't see. This is another one of these conspiracies that just gets you nowhere and probably is just a red herring. Planes burn lots of fuel. How much and how more efficient they are today than they were 10 years ago, I have no idea, because I know they burn fuel. I know my car burns fuel.
I just hit it. They moved the APU from the ground to the back of the airplane into the tail now. And now it's in the tail.
None of that matters to me because it doesn't... I have no idea. I don't get into fuels and engineering and planes. There's lots of fuel. We burn fuel. I think that there's no conspiracy, just like there's no conspiracy around chemtrails, and I'm in 100% alignment.
I'll throw that on chemtrails, but the fuel, the amount of fuel is just it doesn't dive on critical.
Tim Osmond, have you talked about the fuel?
Don't have critical thinking.
Have you talked about? I've
looked into it, and look, and when you say, hey, it's possible that all the airlines are lying about their fuel consumption so they can charge more for the tickets, and maybe also for there are other reasons as well. But like the idea that they would lie about it doesn't seem far-fetched. That's why I thought that theory has something to it. But like you said, you hit a wall. There has to be more information. You can only assert something out of lack of information or arguments from ignorance for so long before we have to go, you know, test the claims. But I will point out that a lot of predictive programming leading up to 9/11 made use of jet fuel. So many movies with jets exploding, where, you know, like the movie with Bruce Willis, Die Hard, where it just seems like jet fuel deserves an Academy Award for all the movies that it's starred in over the years.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I also thought it was conspicuous how often jet fuel has been, you know, a prominent feature in movies. Maybe to prepare us for 9/11 in that fake story.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I would say no one's talked more about jet fuel than the people around 9/11 after that, because jet fuel was the demon that took the whole, caused the building to start the pancake. Burn. I mean, that was the whole story. So you're right. We don't talk about jet fuel after 9/11 the way we did before. So that's a great point.
So what kind of fuel did they use in the 40s? Because you had an airplane that crashed into the entire Empire State Building in the 40s, and it just burned up the floor. That's all it did. It was a passenger plane.
Yeah, it's CGI. CGI planes are what burn buildings, from what I see.
No, I know that. I'm talking about 1940s when the actual plane did hit the Empire State Building.
Right, you're saying it didn't make a big hole and cause the floors to start pancaking back in the 40s. Yeah, of course.
Right.
Well, CGI played a big role for sure.
Well, again, I apologize again for that 3 weeks ago. I finally had enough guests to call back into you.
Believe me, it's fine, Harmon. You're a great donor to the show and a great supporter, and it's not a problem. I didn't even think twice about it, so don't worry about it, man.
All right, Tim, when you're looking at old movies again, because I know you're like, oh, is there any good movie you want us to watch lately? I love that one. Even though when they were foreign subtitles, I still like that. What do you got going now?
Tim Osmond, what movie did you recommend?
Tim. Or series. Is he still there?
I think he's still here. Oh, actually, he dropped off. His audience is still here. I think he has a bad... He has a bad internet connection. I think he must be in a shared place where his Wi-Fi is being shared.
He always has. He actually stays up to date on the movies and the Netflix things and like that. And he gives out some pretty good suggestions.
Yeah. Well, I have a huge.
All right, sir.
Yeah. All right. Huh? Thanks. Yeah, I have a huge list of movies that get recommended from the No Agenda show from. All over the place.
What do you got going? Give me something now. I really want to watch something.
Well, the one that I'm going to try and watch from the No Agenda show is the one that, because they keep talking about this transgender revolution. Mm-hmm. And their argument is it's extremely harmful to children. And the movie he recommended is Affirmation Generation.
I will remember that. Affirmation Generation.
That's on YouTube. It's an hour and a half. I've got it here. I'm going to watch it. It's just showing how all these children that are influenced by all this nonsense are really hurting themselves. And when they do finally realize what a disaster they've been brainwashed into, the end result is not good. So,
well, our family quit talking. My daughter lives over there in the heart of it in Long Beach, California. And she is so, I don't know where she didn't come from me. I just think somehow the mailman got her or something. Oh, but anyway, she sat there, took at 4 years old, taking my son to the drag queen story hours, sitting there painting his fingernails, takes him to the freaking parades that they have where the men are walking around naked.
You better get over there, Harmon, and rescue that child. That's terrible.
No, I can't. I'm not allowed there now. Now he's going to be almost 8 years old. He is the biggest.
Oh, dear.
I don't want to say it's my grandson. What do you say, right? Yeah. He just, oh, my gosh. He had no chance. No chance. Copy, so that's what you're talking about.
Copy Stetic. Great name. Copacetic. Copy Stetic says Severance is really good. So there's another movie recommendation. Severance. Tim Osmond, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back on. I had a temporary interruption. I think a chemtrail blocked the signal from the CubeSat. Or something, it interrupted my service there, but I'm back on. What did I miss? I'm looking at the chats.
We were just talking about movies. Harmon wanted a movie recommendation. He said he liked the last one you made. I don't remember what that was.
It was a series off Netflix. I can't remember the name. It was about the Japanese.
Skull. Oh, Hot Skull with the subtitles. Oh, yeah.
What's the new one?
That was where they were spreading mind viruses.
Yeah, that's Turkey, I think.
A Turkish movie.
Yeah, fantastic movie. I mean, it was almost a parody, but yeah, the mind virus idea that you catch viruses and you have to go through your ears, you have to cover your ears or go into quarantine, and that the people that contain the ideas in their heads are the hot skulls, and that would be us. You know, we're the hot skulls.
Yeah, I watched that. So what's the next one? I need something else now. Okay, the last two you did, the Japanese one where they were in Japan and they had that stuff. And then you went to the Turkish one that had the mind skull.
Yeah, the Alice in Borderland was pretty interesting. I mean, a lot of these movies are just incredibly violent, which I think is part of the Psywar as well. You know, but it's about breaking our Overton window and making a lot of things that aren't real seem believable. But yeah, as far as predictive programming, that one has a meteor hitting Tokyo, and it looks like a mushroom cloud. And so there's some kind of tie-in to that movie that has to do with Fallout. I mean, every movie I see has Fallout as a character in it or as a feature, as though, you know, obviously predictive programming. And we're still waiting to see how that turns out. But
Ab gave me Affirmation Generation, and another guy in the chat gave Severance. You heard of either of those?
Severance. No, I have not. I have not seen that.
Or Affirmation Generation?
No, those are new to me.
Affirmation Generation is just a new one about the transgender kids that have extreme regrets once they once they find out what this crap is all about. I'll just put it on the screen here. I'll put a link to it in my show notes, but it's not really. I don't think Tim. How much do you talk about the transgender nonsense that's going on? Because
Look, this was heavily pushed starting in the summer, and it kicked off around the time that Patriot Front started protesting it. And it's obviously meant to be a psyop, or it's meant to agitate when they put children in the middle of anything. It automatically puts it into the realm of now it's an emotionally charged thing. And it's perplexing to me for a lot of reasons that it seems like it's all narrative building, but is this more of the Democrat Party trying to use minority groups as a bludgeon against individuals? And that's what I think. It's like, hey, let's say this group's a victim, and now any individual that has a problem with it is the person we need to get rid of. That's the new enemy. So I think that all these little groups or minority groups, it's just like with races. I think the race card expired, and now they're bringing out the trans card. I think that's what it is. It's politics as usual. They're weaponizing groups of people they don't actually care about.
Right.
But then you have this false thing where it's like the right's going to save you from that. But then the political right, it's recently been exposed, especially the ones that are protesting the drag queens themselves. For example, the America First crew, yeah, that group is saturated with pervs and predators, blackmail rings and groomers. So I'm like, who's saving us from who? I mean, the whole thing is just one big S show on the left and right. And it's a bizarro world for sure. It's a psy war. And what do you expect?
But again, you're not watching anything new that you've got a suggestion right now.
Actually, lately, I've been hyper-focused on CNN and Fox because I'm traveling. And I'm monitoring CNN to know what the masses are believing. And then I'm basically contrasting it with what we're researching here. And I find that keeping one eye on CNN, one eye on Discord, gives me a pretty good perspective. Like right now, that shooter in Texas is still on the loose, and that's the main story. And everyone's like, why are Americans just killing each other? And they got Eric Holder is on CNN talking about this. So it's just interesting.
Yeah, when you said that, you reminded me, there's supposed to be another person who is ground zero with a new COVID bug from Ohio. Did you guys hear about that? It came from
Ohio. Hey, let me let you go, Harmon, because I want to just talk about something else about with things. So thanks for calling, Harmon. Appreciate it. Harmon should do his own show. He has a lot of content, I have to admit. He's a good caller, but
Yes, agreed.
I was just reading some comments on the John the Bond, and John the Bond is a big fan of your show and my show. And he thinks, he was just saying that this whole COVID revolution operation is over. And he said, it says, to the content creators I consider to be closest to myself in terms of focus and interests are Tim Osman of the Infinite Plane Society and Ab the Fakeologist. Tim Osman recently launched an appeal for donations to help pay for his rent. Apparently, he has been going through hard times. Ab has recently, i.e. the past 12 months or so, pivoted into cryptocurrency promotion. In fact, this seems to be about 50% of his site's focus these days. So he's saying that, to me, this is no coincidence. When the world was trying to tell people that there was an invisible body-possessing demon on the loose, and we should all take magic potions in our arms and save grandma, voices and communities like Osman's and Ab's were precious. They were valued because they stood up for common sense. These guys put themselves out there and gave a voice and platform to the unbelievers in the scandemic, many of whom were either too afraid or simply not confident enough to do it themselves. So he's saying that I'm doing a lot of crypto discussions, and you're also trying to focus on trying to get back and raise some money. What do you say on that?
The money thing, I don't put a lot into, you know, fundraising. I did at that point when I initially had to move out of my office. But, for the most part, what we're doing here is kind of a niche thing. Mm-hmm. And it will never be marketable. And as far like selling the truth, I mean, it's media doesn't make money as it is.
No, you're right. Like,
it's a hard business. So I keep my research agenda and our actual content here separate from the business end of it. And I like talking about the business side of it with you because you're in this business. I mean, we're in.
Yeah, I do too.
But it's not the primary focus at all by any stretch. In fact, I try to not talk about it as much as I can. And I try to get most of my funding through my art sales and book sales because I prefer not to have to use any time. I mean, I used to listen to InfoWars and it's like every 15 minutes, they're selling me something. And I'm like, you know, that takes away from research time, but this is just the reality of the place where we're at. And the fact is you get more of what you subsidize and you lose that which is taxed. And, you know, society is always putting a heavy price on going against the grain in the realm of media.
And I think Alex Jones, like I just was watching the Dr. Rima interview he did and I like her and it was pretty interesting, but he mentioned he's coming out of bankruptcy and that bankruptcy just, I think he honestly himself was, I think he blamed it on the lawsuit, which I think was fake, but I think he probably was running out of money just because donations and selling Tangy Tangerine probably dried up. So he probably had to go into bankruptcy to reorganize and just come out of it. Because bankruptcy, obviously, if anyone in business understands it, it just means you have to suspend all debt payments so you can make a deal and start over again.
Well, one thing I think that GLB brought up, though, is that with the vaccine thing, mm-hmm. the movement, the Cywar, when it gets really agitated, a lot of money is floating around.
Oh, yeah.
And with that, bigger audiences. And when it passes, yeah, a lot of that does go away.
Yeah.
And there's ups and downs with this. And like so when there's a major PSYOP, like when there was a Sweet 16 shooting, you know, I wake up 3 a.m. and I see, oh, it's a shooting. I know it's going to be good for business. If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah, it's good for CNN. It's good for Fox. And then the alternative community where people know don't trust the CNNs as the Foxes, they'll go to the alternate community and look for answers there. So I think I think COVID was huge for the media business. Just massive.
People wake up with like apprehension, like, oh no, bad news. Ohio's blowing up. The sky's falling. Aliens are invading. And there's a new strain. And I'm like, I wake up and I'm like, this is a great day for auto hoaxing.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's always a great day for auto hoaxing. But yeah, when something's big is going on, you just wait for the details so you can start lining up the patterns and explaining it all through the patterns.
Absolutely. Look, the fake staged death, the botched PSYOP death of Nipsey Hussle brought our viewership from 300 to 1,500 live for the period of that event. And then John McAfee was referenced as possibly being alive in a Netflix documentary. I talked about that, and that was last summer. We had 1,000 live for a few hours. And this is why I think that we're constantly purged from YouTube, because you can scale up an audience on any good lead at any time. And that's how the media lives, and that's why we're cutting edge. And I'm just saying, for people who don't know, if it weren't for the active suppression by big government media, Fakeology, what we're doing here with IPS, we would have those audiences all the time because I think the content is that good.
And when people stop believing the mainstream and going to the alternative where we have the opposite view, we say everything is fake, at what point will the whole world turn upside down and then CNN says, oh, it's another fake event. So then we're going to have to take the opposite point of view and say, oh no, it's actually true. It did happen. So when they see more people believing that it's not true, can you imagine that world? How confusing would that be?
Yeah, well, we're there. You know, the public has been rendered incapable of effectively discerning real or fake without help from the authorities. They've been made helpless and they've really, I think this is a philosophical issue. You know, like for example, the flat earth thing. I was thinking about this today because I'm following a few threads on Twitter and people are, you know, still talking about this subject. And one thing I realized is that the critics don't know, it's not a scientific question. as much as it's a philosophical one. It's not so much about geography as much as discerning truth from fiction based on, you know, what you're told and how you know what's real or fake. Like, what's your frame of reference? And if your frame of reference involves everything that comes from NASA is real, yeah, you're slightly skewed. And I think that's a philosophical problem. It's an argument from authority. It's not about a scientifically accepted proposition, and never has been.
If anyone else wants to call in before we close out, we'll probably go in another 20 minutes or so. Is that okay with you, Tim?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I know you can obviously keep your own streams going for as long as you normally do. You usually do, I find, 60 to 90 minutes, I think, for the most part, now that you're still on sort of a sub-studio basis.
Yes, 90 minutes is optimal for just me, but when I take calls again, then we will typically cross over into, you know, 2 to 3 hours with the callers, because they generally bring in a whole lot of new information, and it usually just builds.
Yeah, I guess it's been a while since we've heard from some of your regular callers, some of the guys that call in maybe once a month with information. Been quite a while,
yes,
actually.
Exactly. I can't wait to bring it back. That's going to be a high point, and it will just be a couple of weeks. But once we get that back, I think it'll reflect on everything else that I'm doing here, because caller-driven shows is the staple of IPR. Open platform, not censoring any views, getting everything out there.
Yeah, 810-666-1984. If any callers want to talk to Tim, you can give us a call and tell us what's on your mind. You got a huge chat going here and lots of people. Man, most of your viewers are on YouTube. So they just can't stay away from YouTube, can they? Amazing.
I know. Look, YouTube is almost a antitrust thing. I think it's a monopoly. And monopoly is a key word here. I'm always talking about the monolithic media and the monolith, the screen that filters everything. And ultimately, it's about monopolizing the big story,
yeah,
being the sole authority and monopolizing our perceptions through, of course, a monopolized media. And I look at it as the new monotheism, the new God construct.
Hold time.
Well, here comes Greg onto the line. Greg, welcome to the show. Say hi to Tim Osman.
Hello, Tims. Hello, Tim Osman and Tim G.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Tim Osman, I was wondering what your take on land acknowledgements is, if you've ever experienced those.
Say again.
Land acknowledgements. What are those?
I never heard of it either.
So it's where you're at an event. And then before the event happens, before it takes place, someone will get up on stage, or a pre-recorded message will be played that the land that the facility is, wherever you are in the theater.
Oh, I know what you're saying now.
Is on land that was originally belonged to an Indian tribe, and they'll say the name of the tribe, and that they're original stewards and keepers of this land, and that they're grateful to be able to live and work on this land.
Let me play a blooper. I'll play a land acknowledgement blooper. Hold on, let's see if this works.
We've seen the wild turkey. We've seen.
Okay, I don't know what she's talking about here. Okay, basically what he's saying is, okay, these aren't working. What he's saying is when you are standing, say, even somewhere in Toronto, they'll just say, we acknowledge this land belongs to the Mississauga Indian tribe, and thanks for letting us trample all over you from 200 years ago. Do they do that in New Mexico?
There's a lot of recognition, and they definitely make, I'm sure they do it. I haven't personally seen it. It's new to me.
Okay.
But no, I haven't heard about this land acknowledgement.
Oh, really? Okay, well, it's everywhere in Canada.
Yeah. Well, in Canada, we feel worse for the British taking over all the land and developing it into the country it is. So maybe they don't have that sense of guilt as all Canadians are supposed to have.
I guess the original sin of the Americans is slavery, right? I guess in Canada, it's
I don't know, residential schools or something.
I don't know. Do you listen to IPS on the regular like I do?
Yeah, all the time. I love it. It's an alternative to the mainstream media, which I can't bear to listen to. So it's like the same points of reference, but a different take on them, which I appreciate.
Now, what's your take on this land acknowledgement thing? Like, should we all be acknowledging the buried civilization of Tartaria?
Yeah, how far back do we go?
Yeah, I wouldn't plug my ears for that. So the three most recent times I've been subjected to these land acknowledgements, I plug my ears until they're over. Because I think it's something sinister.
Well, actually,
I think
it
has something to do with.
Actually, it is, because when they take away the land and give it back to the Indians, and then they'll manage it on behalf of the community, communitarianism, to tie everything together, then you'll know. So everyone is going to owe the Indians. They're going to have to give all their land back to the Indians, but they won't be able to manage the whole thing, so then it'll be handed over to a corporation. So I think it all ties into Agenda 21 and SDGs is maybe what you're getting at.
Go ahead, Tim Osmond.
Wouldn't the whole premise of it be maybe even undermining the very basis for private property?
Let's get
rid of that philosophically, and like they do with everything else with environmentalism, they disabuse us of the idea we should own anything.
Yeah.
Well, now let's attack the very basis for owning land, and then you make arguments on behalf of ancestors or people who aren't here. That's an argument that places the collective that don't exist over the individual who exists right now.
You got it.
And I think that might be part of it as well.
Oh, yeah. That's totally part of it. Yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Greg?
I think Tim's got it. He's nailed it.
Yeah. Man, we just tying all the concepts together in one neat show. You know, Tim has got his angle. It ties in with Jenna and Brian's, and then you bring in this. So, yeah, it all... We're just putting the pieces together and building a pizza. Which ties in all those pizza themes, which we won't get into tonight. You got anything else, Greg, for Tim?
No, that's all I wanted to ask. I won't keep you any longer.
Okay, yeah, your line is kind of wonky tonight.
Yeah, interesting, though. Interesting points that he brings up. Because this is the point represented even by Greta, where they get you to think about the future generations. Like, we should think about the future. However, whenever they start the argument with this group of people that don't exist yet, this hypothetical group matters more than the living individual, it's clever, but it's mostly an emotional appeal. Mm-hmm. And I think it is part of a concerted effort to undermine the basis that anybody should own any property, because, of course, WEF says it, you will own nothing and be happy.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, but if you want to go see what happens to property that's not really owned by anybody, I invite you to take a tour of the east side of Detroit. It's not pretty.
Were you there?
No, but I was watching a video. There's a guy that drives around, this guy, Charlie Bo. I don't know if you've seen this. Charlie Bo, all the guy does is drive around America. He doesn't say anything. He takes his dash cam or his phone cam and just is constantly turning it left and right on the street he's driving on, and he drives down the worst and the best neighborhood. So here he is driving around Detroit in the best neighborhoods, you know, private property. People have to maintain their property. But here's Detroit's Sherwood Forest, which is probably on the north side. And then he goes over to this side of Detroit, the east side. And this is what happens when people don't own property. Like, these are abandoned houses. I don't think, you can't see this, I don't think. Can you, Tim?
I can see it. And yeah, this is a great point. One of the best ways to preserve the environment or property is to have somebody responsible for it.
Exactly.
And this is what you'd call the tragedy of the commons, I think.
Yeah.
Along those lines.
Look at these places. Like, you could buy any one of these places. You just have to pay the back taxes. But most of these places are abandoned. Nobody wants them. And they're not that far away from the part of Detroit where people do want to be in. But look at these places. I mean, it's really... I get creeped out by looking at this stuff. And he goes all over the place. Detroit's probably one of the worst cities to show this kind of example here. I mean, it's really something else. But he goes to Hotlanta as well. It's not as bad. Nothing's as bad as Detroit or some of the other Rust Belt cities, but this is what happens.
I seen some stuff in Oakland where entire intersections are being shut down for like an hour as individuals come out doing these tricks with their cars, you know, driving in circles, doing donuts. And it's just chaos in some of these big cities. And if you get out of your car, the mob will literally just pretty much eat you like zombies.
Wow.
It's pretty bad. We're almost at that point. And I bring this up because the mob mentality is the main weapon of the elite. And you can see how they weaponize mobs to destroy not only their own environments, but whatever they're pointed at. This is just the end result of taking away individual responsibility.
Yes.
And then replacing it with this government-centric lifestyle where the government can take care of everything. No, it actually can't. You need individuals to take care of their own lives. This is their ideals realized. This is the truth of it.
Yeah. Do you see any of that in your state? Any of this kind of activity, or is it not hit there yet?
Well, I can drive down a certain part of town if I want to, and it's just nothing but, you know, tent cities and Flocka patients at the bus stops. And yeah, it's pretty overwhelming in some areas where a lot of elderly people are complaining that they can't walk on sidewalks with their walkers. They're trapped in their retirement places because some of the sidewalks are blocked. And, you know, I think this is all intentional and planned. I don't think it has to be this way, but this is because I think, we're living through a revolution against the individual itself and what individualism requires as far as rights, protections, and everything else. And what that first caller brought up about the communitarianism makes perfect sense as far as what is being employed to destroy individuality and really destroy our standard of living in favor of, I think, whatever the WEF says in the future, something more sustainable.
Yeah, in the comments, Angst G says, Detroilet. I like that one, Detroilet. Copacetic says, Charlie Bo is a legend. And Zalt says, that's my house. yeah, it's funny. Is this recorded, Celestial Wonders? Yeah, it will. It is being recorded, but this is live right now. I'm talking to Tim Osmond of IPS, IPS.monster. We promised to talk about once a month, so I kept my promise. So he's back here, and we're talking to his large audience. The small fake O2 fakeologist community is talking to Tim Osmond, who does a show most nights. I follow Tim on Odyssey. Odyssey's the most reliable feed that I can find right now of Tim Osmond. So especially when he does a video, I can look at the video at the same time and not have to have two feeds, one for audio, one for video. So Odyssey is where I find Tim Osmond. So make sure you go to his page and find his feed on his Odyssey page and feed it into your favorite podcast player. I use Podcast Addict, and I think Tim knows that because every time Podcast Addict finishes listening to it, it sends a tweet, and then Tim usually sees it. So that's
absolutely. If you go to infiniteplane.live, I actually have a button for every podcast platform I'm on. So whatever you listen to, and a lot of these podcast platforms now carry the video as well. And like that's kind of a feature I see a lot of them doing. And I will be doing live on Rofkin and others very soon when I'm back in the main studio. But I do put my archives there. And, you know, we're looking at the Detroit East Side. What do you think about this recent trend of decriminalizing theft where stores are just being looted? But not like in 2020 where they do it all at once, but it just seems like looting is a thing now and it's not prosecuted.
That's crazy. Well, the stores just pack up and leave. Okay, how many times are they going to be looted, and then they're gone? Is is it not Target and Walmart and some of the others just leaving these areas, Portland and LA?
Or they're locking merchandise. Like I have a couple places I go to. One place, it's a drugstore where some of the products are just a plastic tab with the product's photo on it.
Oh, okay.
And you take it to the counter if you want it. And then at Target, you have a lot of stuff behind glass. But anyway, I bring this up because I think there's a war on free market. It's right. Not about these corporations like Target or Walmart being victims. They're letting it happen because I think it's a war on the free market economy, and they're going to replace it with this centralized distribution. And I think it's being done on purpose because they're showing that this is an outmoded system. The inequality requires this, and it's justifiable, but it's all by design. And the outrage is meant to be there. But I think we're all being led into, of course, this grand new paradigm where everything's going to be supplied by Gaia, who will probably even speak to us once they actually formally make it our God.
Right. Maybe just shut down stores. So if you want anything, you just they want to push you maybe more online. And if you want it, you just have to order it online, and where everything can easily be tracked and traced, because you cannot obviously stick cash into your keyboard to get whatever you want. So everything has to be, yeah, we're here. Here we are in Atlanta. Looks like a great place to hang around. So crazy.
Now, Atlanta is a fascinating study when you look at their protest movements, because they recently had this protest where adjacent to Atlanta, there's this 80-acre area of land, like a forested area, that they're cutting down to set up a police training facility.
Wow.
And the environmentalist protest there, who call themselves citizens of the forest, were protesting this, and one of them was shot by the cops, and they turned him into a martyr. Anyway, he was shot through the palms of his hands, which makes him like Jesus, like a martyr. But Atlanta is ground zero for a huge part of this this collectivist Marxist front, BLM. And now they're fusing it with environmentalism, which is basically this Gaia movement. So it's kind of fascinating how you look at these movements now where you got the raised communist fist, and behind it is the tree representing the Gaia consciousness. But the merging of environmentalism and communism openly is a new development, because for the longest time, this communist or collectivist revolution was hidden behind environmentalism. But now it's kind of in the open.
Escape Destroy in the FakoTube chat says, Jim Lee has an interesting theory on the chemtrails. According to him, they changed the fuel in the late 90s. Okay, I've never heard of him. Have you heard of that?
No, I have not. I mean, I'll look. I will continue to look and compare versus the official explanation of condensation trails.
Okay,
yeah,
go ahead, Greg.
I remember there was a thread on a Clues forum many years ago where they thought they had come up with the explanation for them, which was that it was to strengthen the ionosphere so that
better cell phone signals. Yeah, I didn't buy that at all.
That's it. Yeah,
no, that doesn't make
sense. You didn't believe that?
Not for 5 minutes. Cell phone signals only, they don't point the towers up. They point them down to the ground. So, but that makes no sense. And there's not that much power. Not many watts come out of a cell phone tower compared to how much you need to bounce it off the atmosphere, I think. But what else it says here? Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with pollution. I think that the fuel, obviously there's no pollution control on planes. So there's a lot of crap that goes out of those engines. And maybe some incomplete combustion does precipitate down. But it's just pollution as far as I can see.
Well, remember though, Greta was saying that we need to stay home for Christmas and not fly anywhere. And this was before COVID. Like this attitude against airplanes because of their pollution has been snowballing. Because then we had a number of events with airplanes in the last few months where the airlines were experiencing, quote, turbulence. You had a lot of, I noticed there was an uptick on
turbulence stories.
It was planes and trains at the same time. Every train's derailing and all kinds of planes are having problems. And then NASA comes out and they say condensation trails cause climate change. So to me, it's about restricting our movements again. Now, because now you could be poor, but if you got $50, you could fly way over there. They don't like that.
I agree.
That the poor have the ability, the maneuverability, the mobility that used to only be the purview of the elite and the rich.
Hey, I agree. I agree. They don't want us traveling. That's the easy. That's an Agenda 21 SDG from a long time ago. So it's, to me, it's a no brainer. They don't want you moving around. They want you to sit still.
How does that person know that your travel was unnecessary? You know, it was necessary for you.
Well, yeah, it's just semantics there, but it was unnecessary. It wasn't for business, that's for sure. Salty Siren says, Jim Lee is awesome. Climateviewer.org. Have you heard of that one? Climateviewer.org. I guess we'll put that in the list of things to look at. Climateviewer.org. If Salty Siren says so, then it's probably pretty good. Climate Viewer Maps. Okay. We'll put that in the show notes. All right. Well, we've been going about 90 minutes or so. Tim, do you have any final comments to wrap it up?
No, this has been a great catch up on things. And I think we should continue to do this once a month. Next month, I'm pretty sure I'll be back in a fully functional studio. And I'll be back on my feet as far as that goes, which means open phones, 24/7 think tank, and just more of this, keeping up with the crisis actors.
And I should mention that my Discord is extremely quiet. Yours is very active, but I haven't heard of too many Discords getting yanked lately, have you?
No, although it seems like they had that Discord leaker who was that individual from the military who dropped all kinds of information on Discord. And for about a week straight, CNN was just nothing but Discord is a national security threat. We got to monitor Discord. So Discord is in the crosshairs, which means we can't rely on it permanently, which is why I'm taking a lot of my best Discord threads and I'm putting it over on the forums, as you had suggested. We need to keep doing that because we cannot guarantee these things will last. The next school shooter will say Discord made him do it. They'll pull Discord. Now, that's been the pattern.
And of course, if you're not in the Discord ecosystem, if you're not logged in, you can't just pass by and take a look. Whereas the old-fashioned World Wide Web internet forums, anyone can just surf by. They don't have to log in and they can just take a look and then move on. So that is...
Right. You know what? When I first heard about Discord, I avoided it for that reason. I thought, wait, we're out here open sourcing our research, bringing in more minds. And now I have people saying, no, go undercover, go in the dark, go underground, go in Discord.
Oh.
Then the trolls can't find you. And I thought then, hey, this has got to be a psyop to take everything out of the open.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of thinking here that this over-reliance on a private, secure, inaccessible server, yeah, that could probably go. And I want to emphasize more of the live think tank and the forums.
Yeah, everyone needs to just stop using all these services because they're just there to corral you and manage you. Yeah, they do the back end work and it does save a little bit of time when you set something up, but you don't own it. And if they don't like it, they can just delete it in under a millisecond and then it's gone and all that work, all that energy is just up in smoke. So it's not good. If you want
you're putting yourself in a petri dish for the intelligence agencies to study so they can scapegoat you for all of their psyops. I mean, look, Discord's a psyop. I am pretty sure a lot of this idea of going into these private platforms that you don't control is somehow going to save you from the bigger private platforms you don't control. Yeah, that didn't work out very well. But for me, the main focus is the 24/7 live think tank, precisely because it interfaces with the world, precisely because it's a light.
Just the name Discord, it should tell you all you need to know.
Right.
It's in the name. These guys love to mock. They love to mock people. But what else do you expect in a Discord? Dissension. Conflict. Discord. It's all there. All right, Tim. Well, good show. Thanks for checking in. I'll keep listening on Odyssey to you. And I don't have a lot of time to read the Discord. So I know you read the Discord on your show, which is great. So I don't have to go in there and you pick out the best stuff. And it is great that all these people participate in the research. That's what it's all about. Crowdsourcing the truth, as that other guy's show. Jason, I kind of like him walking around New York, but you do your own kind of crowdsourcing of the truth, which is good. Greg, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. Thank you. Have a good one. Take care. There goes Greg. Okay. Well, thanks, Tim, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks. In about a month.
Sounds good. I'll see you in the forums, and make sure you put a link to the forums. I'll try to emphasize people get in there because it's fun. It's productive. Thanks,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, thank you. Fakeologist.com/forums2. That's what Tim Osmond's talking about. And Tim is always participating in there when I ask him to put some of his content on there. I appreciate it. And thanks to all you guys for showing up here tonight. It's really fun to have such a big audience. Tim Osmond always brings a huge crowd with him, which is fun. And great research, of course. There aren't too many shows I listen to every day. But Tim Osmond, I don't miss many of his shows. And I appreciate his work and all of the think tankers that are on his show. And if you want to make your think tank stuff stick, Fakeologist Forums is a good place to post. Just sign up, and if you say you're from Tim Osmond, I'll validate you. I mean, we have to have some validation, otherwise I get, like any other site on the internet, it gets infested with spam and porn. So definitely sign up if you want to post some of your stuff. We talk about pretty much the same stuff as Tim does. We have all these different categories, Corona, 9/11, PSYOPs, NASA. We talk about elite gender inversion, integrated capstone events, active shooter events, baller skeptics, health, audio clips, 9/11, revisionism.